Well, if anybody ever tells you in the month of January that Kennywood is open, that should strike fear in your heart, right? Have you ever had a conversation with someone and then went to use the restroom and realized that Kennywood was open during that entire conversation? I know a pastor who one time realized that his Kennywood was open while he was preaching, and he had tucked his shirt through Kennywood and did not know why there were some awkward looks his way while he was preaching. You know, sometimes we can do stuff that could throw us off. I, on Easter Sunday one time, had to have Heather bring me another shirt because I realized that there were some bright red stains right on my shirt as I was going to begin the service. So she came with a shirt and I swapped it out. But sometimes you don't catch that. Have you ever been somewhere and you realize, you know, why didn't I see that? Have you ever had that before? Or realize that there is something caked on your pant leg. If you have children, you really understand. Because you didn't put it there, but it got there from some other hand that just touches you. DJ had some gel in his hair the other night, and he wanted that to get on me for whatever reason. And his head was like a magnet. He just like kept flinging that head my direction for me to get slimed. Sometimes you notice things, and sometimes it's better to point it out, and sometimes you want to avoid pointing it out so as to not draw attention to it. And when you point out things like that, sometimes you will discover what kind of personality someone has if they already noticed it before you point it out. This morning, I didn't realize until I was standing over there partway through worship that usually I wear a little more dressy shoes, but I realized that my gym shoes were on this morning. That was unintentional. And those of you who already noticed, I know what kind of type of personality you likely have. And it's little things like that. Have you ever made discoveries like that and it kind of ruined you? You know, you're kind of off and now you're not sure how to manage your way through that. Or ever enter into conversation and somehow someone said something, you made the discovery that the person you're going to talk to has some kind of problem with you or issue with you, or they've been talking about you, and now all of a sudden your comfort level with that conversation is completely changed. And your ability to work your way through that is not there like it was before. Now, those are very minimal disruptions that could happen. But sometimes we've experienced bigger disruptions, not just in social encounters, but in life in general. Have you ever had something just going wrong and nagging at you, and no matter where you went, you just were sad or anxious or confused, and it just hung over you and it affected you? And I believe that God wants you to know something this morning. This will probably be the theme throughout this morning. Everything's going to be okay. And sometimes I just need to hear that, right? And I say I because sometimes I need to hear it, sometimes you need to hear it. Everything's going to be okay. But we don't readily believe that all the time. And what that looks like, but everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be okay. Now, I remember we recently watched the new Mr. Rogers movie. I don't know if you've seen that. I think it's called, what is it, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood? Is that the one? Because I know there's been the documentary, and then there's the most recent one, the one with Tom Hanks in it. So we went and saw that at the theater. Heather's mom graciously watched. No, wait. No. Your sister watched the kids for us. She's not here, so it won't be a problem that I forgot that it was her that watched the kids for us. But a very inspiring movie. I loved it, and it made me want to listen to some of those old songs because, self-admitted, I grew up watching some of the Mr. Rogers movies, which dates me somewhere in there, whether you see me as younger or older, depending on where you're coming from. But those songs that he sang were great songs. And as much as he was always calm and easygoing, he managed to create a certain level of peace in the environment that he was in. And we've been singing one of his songs to our kids recently. It's, you know the song, It's You I Like? It's you I like, every part of you. Well, we've been singing it to the kids, and I was singing it to DJ one day. We were driving, I was taking him to school, just me and him. And I got to the part that says, I hope that you remember even when you're feeling blue. And then DJ stops me and goes, Daddy, what's blue? And so I explained to him, well, blue means sad. And so a little bit further down the road, I don't know if I started over or what, and he goes, no, don't sing that part. Don't sing that part. And now that's kind of our running joke. You either don't sing that part or you change the blue word to sad or blue or red. Now, why would I say blue or red? Well, because he's asking me, he's like, well, what do other colors mean then? And I said, well, I don't know if they all mean an emotion, but sometimes people use red, like if I'm seeing red, I don't know if you've heard that then you're angry. And he goes, well, then what does purple mean? And I said, well, I don't know if purple means anything. And he said, oh, okay. And so later he told Heather, he said, Mommy, blue means sad, red means mad, and purple doesn't mean anything. But we feel emotions and such, and sometimes they can throw us for a loop and things. And we're going to take a look at two verses. You could turn there if you'd like. Matthew 7, verse 5, and Romans 12, verse 3. Matthew 7, verse 5, and Romans 12, verse 3. We're going to look at those two verses. And we sometimes don't realize all the things in life that are affecting everything that we're doing, everything that we're encountering. Our emotional well-being, how we're feeling at the time, is going to affect the way we interact with others, the way we interpret them, the way we feel towards them. You know, we've joked before about my household that everybody in my house but me has a hangry problem. So you have to interpret, is this before or after somebody ate, you know, as far as what their emotions are. Things that are going on in our mind, you know, sometimes we walk into a circumstance having been dealing with something in our lives and thinking that it's not affecting what we're doing right now, but many times it is. The past is right there with us in the present, dictating how I act, how I feel towards, how I interpret things. I really, really wanted to show you a video clip from a TV show, but I couldn't get a hold of it, where this couple was fighting with each other, and they were in an argument, and they were both trying to tell a third party their side of the story. And you know how that can go. You know, if I get in a conflict with someone, and I can say, well, you know, I just said, hey, would you please stop doing that? And they got all mad for some reason. I don't know why they got mad. And when in reality, it was probably a little more emotion to that and a little more firmness and maybe an impolite word thrown in there. And then the other person's view of that is, no, when they came to talk to me, they were just reaming me out and they were just letting me have it. And in reality, they might not have been as strong as you kind of felt that they were. Because we have a filter. We have a heart filter and we have a mind filter, and all of our experiences, both our personality tendencies as well as our upbringing and the culture that we've lived in and the traumas we've experienced and all the things that are going on in our lives, we show up at a moment thinking that none of that matters. None of that is influencing. And just because I think I saw something a certain way, we assume that we know that we saw it correctly. But sometimes we can be missing it entirely. We've shown the video clips of those different videos of magicians and optical illusions where you can trick your mind to think that you're seeing something that's not there. And we need desperately to figure out how to see clearly, because it's going to have an impact on our relationships. Some of you are in broken, now distancing, struggling relationships because one or both of you couldn't see clearly. And we're praying and believing that God's going to bring us into a move of the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, if we aren't seeing clearly, we're going to possibly fall prey to creating disruptions that could kill that thing. Because as much as it's a move of God, and God could do whatever he wants to, but many times, because God will behave as a gentleman, and many times God will come in and want to move, and then we kind of kill the mood. Or we kind of throw it off because of our bitterness, strife, and friction, and those sort of things. And we need to be aware of the things that are driving us. And Jesus makes a statement in Matthew 7, verse 5. He says, first take the log out of your own eye, and and then you will see clearly. And the log is representing sin, because in the context, we got, I see the speck in my brother's eye, the flaw, and I don't realize there's this plank or this beam that is in my eye. And so the goal is, I need to remove the sinful nature through the work of the Holy Spirit. We know we can't take it away ourselves, but I need to remove the sinful nature from my life in order for me to actually see this clearly. And so part of that stripping away of blindness and haziness, and have you ever been in a fog before? Have you ever just moving around just like, I feel like I'm in a fog of days? And sometimes that's affected by emotion, sometimes it's affected by sin, and we need to constantly be working on getting the sin out of our eyes so that we can see clearly. Then Paul writes in Romans 12:3, think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. And that's the passage where it talks about, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, that we need to think soundly. We need to actually see what is really in front of us. Two people can come into the same encounter and walk away with two totally different stories. How does that happen? And the same thing happened, but two people are saying two totally different things. Something's going on there. And I need to make sure that I'm alert to and I'm aware of what's going on so that I can make choices based on truth and reality and spirit and not based on my haziness. And it's hard to know if you have haziness if you can't see anyway. And so the goal is for us to be able to get there, and we've been walking through these different personality tendencies, and we only have one today and one next week. Next week we'll have a party, because we'll talk about the fun one next week. But this next lens is the perspective of the caution lens, to see the world through caution. And similar to the perfectionist lens, who sees the world through errors and flaws, we see what's wrong, and we want to fix it. The caution lens sees all the things that could go wrong, all the things that could happen, all the dangers that could be happening out there. And these type people will say that they're not anxious. They don't think that they are. And the difference between, anybody know the difference between fear and anxiety? You see, fear is when I am having an emotional reaction to a very clear and present danger. There is something that is very possibly going to happen right now, and I have a reaction to that emotionally. Anxiety is feeling that when there isn't a clear and present danger. You know, there is something that could happen, but it might not happen here. There might not be any signs of that happening. And a caution lens person would say to that definition, clear and present danger, they would say, but what if there was a clear and present danger? What if there was something about to happen that we didn't know it was about to happen? And they're just constantly on the lookout of what if something could go wrong? There was a caution lens person that one time said that they were walking down a strip district area where there were stores, and there was a road along the stores, and they were walking in and out of the different stores, and they said this thought crossed their mind of, what if a truck filled with terrorists with bombs on it started driving by, tossing bombs out the window and blowing people up? And she thought, which one of these stores would I go into first if that happened? Because they're constantly on the lookout for safety and to keep myself safe, and how do I get away from the dangers of life? These are people that are very possibly newsaholic type people. They're constantly consuming news after news story after news story and article after article, because I got to know what's going on out there. Because if there's something dangerous out there, I got to know that it's there, and then I got to know what to do about it. And they're probably the ones that are hanging on the edge of their seats when, before the commercial break, the news anchor says, this is very dangerous what's happening, and tune in, because next we're going to tell you how to stop it. And they're like, oh, wait, I can't wait till they tell me how to stop this. Because they're constantly looking for how to prevent things from happening. The difference, again, between the perfectionist lens and the caution lens is the perfectionist lens sees something that probably will happen. If you've ever hung out with children and you've seen cups of drinks anywhere nearby, and you've seen me nearby, you'll notice that I am moving them away from the proximity of the arm swing. It was just somewhere yesterday, and a kid was flinging their arm this way, coming near the cups. And I was like, all right, move them further back, move them further back. Because that actually could happen. They could knock them over. But a caution lens person sees a 15% probability of something happening, and they believe it has a 60% chance of happening. They don't realize that they've made that adjustment. They really think that this has a 60% chance of happening, where everybody else sees it as a 15% chance of happening. So everybody else is not panicking, but this person is, this could really happen. And I feel bad for a caution lens person who has been traumatized or who knows somebody who's been traumatized, because then their fears are all confirmed. Well, I know this could happen because it happened to him. I know this could happen because it happened for me. And so now they're just constantly in that mode of, how do I prevent danger? How do I stop dangerous things from happening? I was going to show you a clip from Finding Nemo. I'm not going to do that, Bonnie. Oh, where are you? There you are. That's right, I forget. You can never see her because she's only about 3 feet tall. And just seeing, she's making faces. She's just hiding from me because she's a peace-loving person. She doesn't want conflict. Oh, now she's looking at me. That clip in Finding Nemo where Marlin, I don't know if you know the movie, Marlin is the dad fish, and he was protective of his son and wanted to make sure that nothing ever happened to him. And he said that line to Dory, the bluefish character, and said, I promised him that I would never let anything happen to him. And she said, well, you can't promise that nothing would ever happen to him, because then nothing would ever happen to him. And she kind of had the reaction of, that's sad, because then he'd never experience some of the pleasures and the joys of life if he's always protecting. And you can protect yourself to the point of where you just don't experience life at all. And the tendency of the caution lens type people, not if they're mature, but if they're wrestling with this, is to try to eliminate all dangers and then to fail to connect with the world and make an impact because they're so worried about safety. And they will find a way to protect themselves in a couple different ways, and a lot of times it's through community. They want to be connected with other people, and so sometimes they're the most loyal people there are, because they want to be nice to you and connected to you, and they want to feel the safety that you provide, and so they seek to be with other people. But they also fall prey to what's called groupthink. Anybody know what groupthink is? Where you're involved in a group of people and you just kind of absorb all their ways of thinking, almost mindlessly. You just begin to just believe the way your group thinks. And this person might not realize they're doing this because they might disagree with other people, but it's other people that are not a part of the group that they've decided will be the guide for them, because they don't trust their own inner guidance system. They don't think that they can find a way to promote safety, so they fixate on authority figures and they try to find another group to be my information source of safety. So sometimes it's the church that's used for that. Sometimes it's a particular news organization or a news anchor. If I'm saying that, I know that you're wrong because of what I heard on NPR, and everything that NPR says is true. Or I know that you're wrong because I heard it on CBN News, and everything on CBN or Fox News is true, and so I know that you're wrong. And they have their group that is always right. That's dangerous if you put anybody up on a pedestal like that, that is always right. You always have to have the filter on. But these people, because they're so dedicated to trying to find safety, they surrender themselves entirely to a thinker. Sometimes people will do that to a preacher. I don't know if you've ever been a part of a church where no matter what the pastor said, this person just always believed it. I mean, the pastor could stand up on a Sunday morning and says, Genesis 3 says to go blow yourself up. And they'd be like, well, the pastor said that I'm supposed to do this. And they would just believe everything that a pastor says. And because they're looking for safety, I need to get safe. But they have this is the only type that has two variants to it. They have a phobic and a counterphobic type. The phobic type is that they are fixated on the authority figure as the savior, as the one who could provide the safety, and they become incredibly loyal. They're almost the type that are kind of wandering around where, oh, you're speaking very powerful and intellectual, okay, I'll follow you. And someone else shows up and gives some great ideas, and that sounds safe and good, okay, I'll follow you. And they're constantly chasing after a person, and they're very, very submissive, have a very submissive posture. The other type is the counterphobic type. This is the type that decided that they're going to face their fears, that whatever they're afraid of, they're going to go right after it, and they're going to come out with it with power and intensity, and you would almost think that there are power lens people. Remember our power lens people? That are intense and confrontational and need to take control of everything, but the difference is that a counterphobic caution person is doing it more out of fear. They're doing it because they're afraid, and they're trying to address their fear, and they'll fixate on authority figures, but in the opposite way. they'll believe that the authority figure is the source of the threat that they feel. And so they will fight against it. So the phobic type person would rather submit than rebel. The counterphobic would rather rebel than submit. And so they will look like the powerless person. And what many people think that a bully is a powerless type person, they're wrong, because most bullies are afraid. Most bullies are scared on the inside. They're trying to fight against their fear. Most bullies are actually the counterphobic caution type person. And I'm trying to fight against my fear, and so I'm attacking so that I can prevent this fear. And you could see where this could cause problems spiritually if I'm living in this constant state of fear and concern, and how do I prevent things. But we need their voices, because sometimes, just like the perfectionist is going to see the flaw before we do and help us to improve, the caution lens person is going to see the danger before we do. They're also going to see some things that aren't dangerous, but they're going to see the danger before we do, because they're fixated on it. They're focused on seeing it. And how do we understand the difference between them and those of us who are not the caution lens person? And I want to do that dinner with you guys. And no, it's not at my house. Someone thought it was going to be at my house. Unless only four of you come, we might be able to fit it at my house. But if all of you come, we can't. But I want us to really understand the ins and outs of what goes on the inside of us. Because I cannot navigate self-control and navigate distinguishing between me and spirit if I don't understand me, and I don't understand what needs to be controlled within me. And so the only thing I'm waiting for is childcare. I'm trying to piece together childcare. So once I have a green light on childcare, I can set a date and invite you to come to dinner with me. And we're going to have steak and lobster. And huh? Is it? Well, did you know that we have the software to edit this recording? And I'll just speak into the edited portion. We're going to have pizza and or grilled cheese. No, just kidding about the grilled cheese part, not about the pizza part. But I want us to understand these things. And sometimes, because what I want us to do in that first dinner is how to truly know what type of personality you actually have. Because all of us feel the same things. All of us feel fear. All of us feel anger. All of us try to get controlling at times. All of us go run and hide at times and are evasive. All of us feel and experience all of those things. But a lot of times what is going on the outside might look the same from person to person, but it's different on the inside. And sometimes that's what helps us be able to see the differences. So if you are a caution lens person and you're being compared to a power lens person, you might both have aggression and you might feel like you need to address and be confrontational. But again, remember, the power lens person is doing it because they're in neutral gear. That's just the way they are all the time. They're not afraid. They're not mad. They're just always intense and always confrontational. The cautionless person is doing it because they're afraid and they're intimidated and they're scared and they're trying to address it. It looks the same on the outside. This is sometimes highly important for knowing how to react to a person. Okay, think what happens if I react to a cautionless person who's being abrasive and I come and I try to smack that down. What do you think is going to happen? It's going to promote more fear, and now I'm going to have to fight more. Where if I come at a power lens person, you know what's going to happen? We're actually going to get a little fun, like back and forth a little bit for a while, and eventually we're going to start laughing is what's going to happen, because they're not scared about that. And so we can misread people because we don't pay attention to what's going on the inside. And as much as we would love to say that the Spirit will help us out with that, which He can, but many times our emotions get the best of us and we read emotions and not Spirit. And we want to make sure that we're not doing that. And sometimes, that's why we have the Scripture. Did you know that the Scripture is called a tutor? Because we should, because the law of God is in our hearts, we should basically know all the stuff that's in here. But we just don't, because of different things that are going on at various points in our life. And so we need a tutor to be standing there next to us saying, oh, no, remember, that's not what the Spirit wants you to do. Don't do that. Because we need that reminder, because we can be tempted to go, no, the Spirit told me to. No, the Spirit didn't tell you to do that. What about a peace person and a confrontational person? They might both be very cooperative on the outside and very friendly, but they have two totally different motivations. The peace person is trying to be cooperative because I don't want you to confront me about anything. I don't want us to get in a fight, and so I want to make sure that I'm very compliant so that I can prevent the fight. Where the caution lens person is doing it because I want to make sure I'm accepted as a part of the group. The peace lens person is okay walking away and realizing I didn't get in with that group, as long as they're not mad at them. The caution lens person might be panicked if they realize they didn't let me into the group because their motivation is different. The caution lens versus the perfectionist, both are highly responsible, highly conscientious, highly able to spot almost anything that there is. But the perfectionist person would rather make sure that it's really good. Okay, they want it to be perfect, that flawless. They want to eliminate flaws. Where the caution lens person, they want it to be safe. And you can see where these two can kind of be in conflict at times. The caution lens person and the helper both feel very strongly for people and are drawn to others, but the helper is drawn to others because they want to be needed by them. They want to become valuable to them. The caution lens person wants to help others because they want to make sure they don't fall in that ditch that's right over there. They don't want them to fall into that hole. They're both doing the same thing, but they're doing it for different reasons. Caution versus the glory lens person, they both intensely pursue a goal, but the glory lens is pursuing their goal to be accomplished and to succeed and achieve, where the caution lens person is pursuing their goal to provide safety and comfort. Both can be doing the same thing for different reasons. The caution versus the unique person, both are finding themselves often pursuing acceptance into a group, but the caution person, again, is doing it for safety. The unique lens person is doing it to give themselves a sense of self-worth and value. See, the caution lens doesn't really care if they're valuable as long as they're safe, where the unique lens, if everything's safe but they don't feel like they're valued, they're going to keep pursuing that group. They have different reasons to do the actions they do on the outside. Caution versus the observer. These are the ones that are both in the head triad, and they're constantly researching and studying stuff. They're probably found on the internet researching things over and over again, reading Wikipedia. I love Wikipedia. I'm not either of these lenses, but I love Wikipedia, especially when you read something that says additional citation needed. And I think, oh, I wanted to know that was for real, for true. And now a citation needed means it might not be. That's my perfectionist side of me. But other people are just like, oh, I didn't even notice that. That must be true because it was on the internet, right? Okay. I saw it in some documentary, so it must be true if it's on video somewhere. I think screens have a hypnotic impact on us, don't they? We just think, ooh, bright colors, it must be real. It's in a glass somewhere. But the unique, or the observer is researching everything so that they can become superior to the stuff that they're encountering so that they can kind of be safe there. Where the caution lens, they're looking for every potential danger that's out there and how to fix it. They have a more specific focus on the things that they're looking on the internet. So now anytime that you're at home and one of your loved ones is on their phone perusing the internet, you're going to want to glance to see what they're looking at. You know, are you one of those caution lens people? You know, caution lens versus the joy lens, both of them delight in being with people, and both of them are incredibly pleasant to be around. But the caution lens person is being pleasant, again, so as to be a part of the group. The joy lens is being pleasant just because they want to have fun. They're just having fun, you just happen to be there, okay, is the difference between the two of them. And the conflict that could arise between the two of them is a caution person with a power person can sometimes end up in a power struggle. Especially since the power person loves to throw caution to the wind and forget all the rules and just dive right in. And a cautionless person is going to go, whoa, what's going on here? Where are we going? This is not safe. Why are you doing it? You shouldn't talk that way. And again, the cautionless person will say, I had a check in my spirit that you shouldn't do that. When really it might be their anxiety that they have going under the surface all the time. The power lens person might say, you're being cowardless and cowarding, I can't say that word, and you need the Holy Spirit in your life so that you can have power and victory to overcome your fears, and so go ahead and jump in that pit. And they might be wrong too, and we got to be aware of ourselves to understand why I feel this strong impulse. It might be the Spirit, but it might not be the Spirit. If they're in relationship with the peace lens person, there is this constant attempt to raise awareness and to squelch things. Because the caution lens person wants to make sure everybody knows all the potential things that could happen. You know, well, this could go wrong, that could go wrong. And the peace lens person, what do they want? Hence their name. Peace. on the outside and on the inside. And you continuing to tell me that I could be eaten by a shark if I go in the ocean is making me kind of anxious, and I don't like this. I don't feel safe on the inside. So they're going to try to get them to stop talking. Just don't tell me any of those news stories anymore. Just turn it off. Don't talk to me about that. And that's the tension. And the caution of this person is getting kind of panicked because they're like, but they're going to get eaten by a shark and they don't know it. And they get more aggressive and they try to get them more things. They're the people that all of a sudden under your door, you might see a news article you get slid under there. Like, they told me not to say anything anymore, but or you'll get that email from them that says, I know you didn't tell me, you told me to not say anything to you, but just read this link and you'll know and you'll understand. And they're constantly have this tension going. Again, both sides can say Holy Spirit, both sides can say biblical lens, but a lot of times it's me and it's not the Spirit. It's me and it's not the Scripture. That's why I keep giving you favorite verses of these personality types and then those they need to hear. Because we unknowingly gravitate to the verses that confirm our way of thinking and our way of living, when in reality we need to see all of them. The ones that confirm the right ways that we're doing and the ones that point out how we're missing the mark. The caution lens person interacting with the perfectionist, again, we mentioned that tension of safer versus better. Perfectionist wants it to be better. The caution lens person wants it to be safer. The caution lens versus the helper. This is an interesting emotional challenge that happens here. The caution lens person is seeking confidence while the helper is looking for help. Or the helper is looking to be helpful and the caution lens person is seeking to be safe. And what happens is the helper comes in to try to help the caution lens person, and the caution feels undermined. You know, you don't feel like I can make myself safe because you keep trying to help me. And I'm trying to feel, because they don't feel confident within themselves. And so when someone comes and points out that they need help with something, it undermines that feeling. It makes them feel more like, I don't know if I can do this. And they kind of react and they try to push you away. And what happens to a helper when you try to push them away? But you need to need me. You need to need me in your life. You can't just push me out. You need to need me. And the more the aggressive they get, the more the caution lens person goes, no, 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 you're making me feel so insecure. Please back up. And again, all the while, checks in the Holy Spirit could be flying everywhere, and verses could be flying everywhere saying, they're of the enemy. They're acting fleshly, and I rebuke them, and you need to pray for so-and-so because they might have a demonic spirit in them. And have you ever had somebody accuse somebody of being operating in the demonic spirit? Be careful doing that. You know, sometimes that is a reality that's out there, but sometimes it's just my flesh reacting, my emotions reacting. It's not really the enemy at all. Caution versus the glory lens. Again, being careful versus succeeding. If you're going to succeed in life, and listen, that sometimes sounds like a dirty word in church, succeed. But we need to succeed for the Lord. You know, if I'm going to try to lead someone to follow Christ, success would be that I got them to follow Christ. Again, through the working of the Holy Spirit, but that would be successful. We want that, right? Okay. If I overcame some temptation, again, through the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, that's success. And we want those kind of successes, right? But sometimes success, actually a lot of times, in order to find success and accomplishment, what do you need to do? Take risk. What does a caution lens person not want to do? I don't want to take any risk because that's dangerous. And then they never achieve or they never accomplish because they're constantly trying to prevent. And so they, like Marlin in Finding Nemo, they try to prevent anything, bad or good. And that drives a glory lens person crazy. You know, come on, we'll never do anything if we keep hanging out in that closet over there trying to peer through the I'm almost convinced that a caution lens person is the one who designed the peephole in the door. I also think that probably the person that owned the house that we bought next door several years ago was also this type of person. Because if you've walked through the house, there are deadbolts and locks on every single door in that house. Even this closet door in the basement has like 6 locks on it. You know, in fact, I was almost afraid to go in there when I first discovered it because I thought, what was that person locking in there? But that fear can cripple a person and keep you away from the things that you need to walk in for the Lord. Their tension with the unique person is conformity versus being independent. Remember, the unique person wants to be uniquely different and individualistic compared to others, where the cautionless person, I'm trying to find safety by being conformed to the group. And no, you need to conform to the group. And that sounds like nails on a chalkboard to a unique lens person. What do you mean, conform to the group? I don't need to be like everybody else. And the caution lens person is thinking, you're dead. You're going to die if you don't jump into the group, because it's dangerous out there. Didn't you know it's dangerous out there? Okay, it almost makes me think of what is that? I think we mentioned that nursery rhyme fable story with the chicken that was afraid the sky is falling. The sky is falling. The observer, the conflict with the observer is cautionless people love conventional wisdom. And do you know what conventional wisdom is? It's what for over years the consensus has been, this is the right way or the safe way to do this. And observer type people, they love to be well thought out and think outside the box and think of all the possibilities and research all the information. And that drives them nuts when the cautionless person says, no, this is the way it's always been done. That's the safest way. Well, but what if there's other ideas? No, this is we know that this is safe because we've done it this way all the time, so you can't step outside of this. And they're getting panicked because the observer's like, no, let's step out of the box and try this. No, you can't do that. And the observer is thinking, what is wrong with this guy? And again, we can attribute spirit, biblical principle things and be missing out. The caution lens person versus the joy lens person is knowing the risk versus just having fun. The caution lens person wants to step up to the pool and get their pH measure thing to measure how much chlorine there is in the pool to see if it's a safe level, and they want to check the temperature to make sure it's not going to make me sick or anything if I get in there. I want to look around to see if there's any kids in there that might have an accident, and just kind of observe and see if I see any shark fins somewhere, because you never know, they can get into a pool somewhere, that can happen. And just watching for everything, and just slowly getting in there. Where you know what the joy lens person wants to do? Woohoo! Jump right in and have fun. And you know what happens? Is that joy lens person sometimes goes woohoo, and they didn't realize there was no water in the pool because they don't look out for the dangers. And the caution lens person, you know what happens? A lot of times, the time goes by and before they realize it, oh, the pool's closed, and I never got in. Rats! I never experienced it. And so there, every one of us see the world differently, and as much as that makes us frustrated with, do you ever get frustrated with people? That makes us frustrated with people and irritated with them. Sometimes that makes us think, I just need to set that person straight. When many times it's not you need to set them straight, it's that they're just seeing it differently than you do. Now, if it's a biblical matter that clearly the Bible says this is right, and there's that conflict there, then that becomes a bigger thing. But if it's just a neutral thing where they just see it differently than you do, we need to sit in that tension to learn from them. Because the joy lens person needs to be a little bit more safer, a little bit more confrontational at times, and the caution lens person needs to learn to be a little bit more riskier at times, and a little bit more fearless at times. And the perfectionist person needs to just let it go sometimes, and just let something fall apart at times. And the unique lens person needs to just allow him to become like everybody else sometimes. And all of us need to allow all of us to speak to each other. Because you are reflecting the image of God. Did you know that? Doesn't the Bible say that in Genesis? We were made in the image of God, and all of your behaviors, though tainted by sin, are often attempting to scream out from it, this is what God looks like. But he looks like the entire body. There's not many bodies. There's one body in Christ, right? And so collectively is how we reflect the image of God. And we can become one-sided. If you zero in on anything with great precision and focus, you immediately become blind. So if you become focused to all the risk and the dangers, you immediately become blind to other things because you're so focused on that. If you become so focused on things being perfect, you immediately become blind to other things. If you become so focused on accomplishment and success, you immediately become blind to the feelings and the different relational dangers that are being experienced by others. So an advice to someone who is not a caution lens person and you're interacting with them, validate their feelings. Nothing makes it worse than like telling a caution lens person that's not real, it's not going to happen. Because you know what they're going to do? They're going to find everything within their power to prove to you that it is dangerous. Instead, just say, that must be scary. I wonder if that could happen. Let's think that through together. And you walk through the emotions with them and work it out instead of trying to just make them stop being so afraid. You know, you could try to force people to do anything, but you know what? It usually doesn't work. Don't brush past their concerns. Don't treat them as trivial. Don't just ignore them. It doesn't mean that you can't decide that you need to take the risk anyway, but don't just brush past their feelings. Heal them. Hear them. Aren't you glad that Jesus hears us when nobody else is listening? Listen to see if there is a concern. Sometimes, because if anybody's going to be the prophetic voice to sound the alarm for the danger that's coming, it's probably going to be them. And so stop for a minute and say, okay, Chicken Little saying the sky is falling, but maybe we should just look real quick just to see if it is. Okay, and listen to what they might be getting through there. Attempt to help them to see the optimistic side, which is hard for them. For them, again, the sky is always falling, and try to get them to think optimistically. But if you are the caution lens person, I want you to know that the worst thing is not always going to happen. It's not. In fact, studies have been shown that 90% of the things that you're anxious about never will happen in your lifetime. And so try to work through those things. Stay away from the news and the internet. If you're a caution lens person, you just probably shouldn't watch the news at all. In any form, TV, internet, radio, just don't listen to it. Well, I need to be informed. Well, which do you need more of, to be informed or to not be gripped with fear all the time? Okay, if it's having that kind of effect on you, you just need to not listen to it. Well, then I'll have somebody else tell me what's going on. No, you don't need to know what's going on out there unless it's a big thing. I was talking to my sister the other day. I wish that there was a news source that just said, hey, really big thing happening. You need to know what's happening. Because you know what happens usually if you try to read through the news, it's like this celebrity actress got a divorce with this person, and then, oh, by the way, there's this cool thing where this ATM was broken for a week over there on that branch. And just stuff that's like, it doesn't affect my life at all. I just wish the big things were in there. And my sister said, because someone came up to her and said, you don't know how to watch the news? Well, how are you supposed to know what's happening? You know, how are you supposed to prepare for that? And she said, well, if I watched the news and I figured out what was going on, now what? Now that I found out that there was a tornado that wreaked through Missouri, now what am I supposed to do? Because a lot of times there are things that you're not able to do something about. It's just I need to know what's going on there. So if you're a caution lens person, please stop listening to the news. And I'm going to pray that God will make you stop listening to the news. I'm going to pray that when you go to turn the TV on, the remote control doesn't work. And the TV won't turn on and your cable goes out. And when you decide to search the phone for some reason, I just can't connect to the Wi-Fi for some reason. As much as I know that's going to strike fear in your heart, you need broken of that fear. So please don't listen to the news anymore. And a verse that you probably lean on. Now, the type of people that might be cautionless people in the Bible are Gideon. He was second-guessing himself, was too afraid to move on unless he had some kind of a sign. Ruth was so loyal, she was willing to leave her people to go with Naomi because of this commitment that she had. Saul, King Saul, as much as we see him as aggressive, I think he was the counterphobic type. He was aggressive because he was panicked. He was afraid David was going to take over the kingdom, and he was reacting to that. Verse that they probably like to hear is Jesus in Matthew 7 when he's telling the parable of building your house on the rock versus the sand. And he also talks about counting the cost. These guys are always counting the cost and always calculating. They're thinking, yeah, see, I'm supposed to be like that. Or 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, be watchful. You know, see, I'm supposed to be a watchman on the wall. I'm supposed to watch everything that's going to possibly go on. But what they probably need to hear is, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, present your requests to God. What they probably need to hear is 2 Timothy 1:7. God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Will you stand with me, worship team? Will you come and prepare to lead us? If you're a caution lens person, I began the service by saying, I feel like the Lord wants to tell us today that everything's going to be okay. Of all personality types, you need to hear it the most. But even if we're not that, don't we all need to hear that message sometimes? Everything's going to be okay. And you might be able to remember moments where your father, when you were a child, something happened in your life, it was going rough, and he picked you up in his arms and said, everything is going to be okay. And that changed everything. Or your husband or your wife or someone significant in your life pulled you near and said, everything's going to be okay. But you and I know that depending on what you mean by that, everything is not always okay. God allows some of the most horrific things to take place in life. You could end up attacked and traumatized and lose resources, and someone in your life could be taken from you through death. You could potentially face an untimely death. It's not supposed to happen. I'm not supposed to die at this age. And there's so much riding on me right now, and I shouldn't be taken out. You think of a parent that's taken from their family when their children are still young. And our thinking's wrong when we think that everything's going to be okay means that nothing bad is ever going to happen. That would be foolish to think that, wouldn't it? We know that, especially you news junkies, you know that bad stuff happens all the time. But it's the knowing that in the midst of the bad stuff happening, knowing that everything is going to be okay, that is what can chase the fear away. That is what can cause us to not be anxious anymore, that even though I lost my house, everything's going to be okay. Even though I lost my job, everything's going to be okay. Even though I can't pay my bills right now, everything's going to be okay. Even though I got a terminal diagnosis, everything's going to be okay. Even though I lost a parent or a child, everything's going to be okay. You know why? Because at the end of that trial, even if it's death, you're going to walk right into paradise. And instantly, everything's going to be okay. And I urge you to hold on to the promises that are throughout Scripture that Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That I will always be with you. And so if you can know Him and know His presence, then in the midst of the storm, you can know He's with me, so everything's going to be okay. This really awful thing just happened, but He's right here in the midst of this, and everything's going to be okay. God says, that all things work together for the good of those who love Him. And I, though sometimes I get frustrated with circumstances, I don't struggle like most people do with the whole idea that God is all powerful, God is all knowledgeable, and He loves, is full of love, and yet bad things happen to us. A lot of people wrestle with that. How can God be all knowing, all powerful, and all loving, and yet let bad things happen to us? That doesn't bother me. You know why? Because I know that He knows more than I know. And that if for some reason I have to walk through this trial and through this fire, I know that He's going to see me through it, and there's going to be some good that's going to come from it. Even if it leads to my death, I know something great's going to happen from it. And I'm telling you, there's a still peace that you can find when you come to the realization that He's got you. And everything's going to be okay. Jesus, in the midst of the storm, the disciples went down to wake Him up because He was in a deep sleep in the midst of what might have been a hurricane. They were panicked out of their mind. And Jesus reacted to them, where's your faith? Because the expectation is not that the storms aren't going to come, not that the trials aren't going to come, not that I'm not going to be traumatized at various points in my life, but that He's going to be right there in the boat with me. And He's going to see me through it. And some of you here today, you're stricken with anxiety. You're just always running on uneasiness, always nervous, always anxious. And God wants to set you free from that. God wants you to be able to walk with that soundness of mind that Paul wrote to Timothy. But I'm going to have to be willing to throw caution to the wind and sometimes take a risk. And so in a moment, as the worship team leads us in worship, I want to encourage you to come down here and find soundness of mind. Wouldn't you love if He calmed the raging storms? And I'm not talking about the ones on the outside. I'm talking about the ones in here. We need that still, small voice that says, peace, be still in my heart, my mind, so I'm not running on anxiety all the time, but I'm running on soundness and confidence and faith in the working of the Holy Spirit. So let's spend a moment with Him. Worship team, if you'd lead us. And if you want deliverance from that anxiety, then come and seek Him this morning. Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." He prophesied that to a people that were about to be attacked by a brutal nation and taken captive. And then in the midst of that, there should be this sense of confidence of well-being that, but he's with me. That's awful, what I'm experiencing, but he is with me, helping me through this, and everything's going to be okay. Amen? So I pray that we continue to let the Holy Spirit help us to see what we've not been seeing before. Because when the Holy Spirit brings the move that he wants to bring. Do you want to see that move? And if you don't, I think some of us in the days ahead, I think I'm going to share a message about what God's move is like and why we should want it and what will happen when it comes. Because I think some of us, we don't have a desire for it because we don't really know why it's so necessary and what will happen when he moves. But don't you want his move? This song they were just singing, there's a part of that song that's asking for us to see his glory or to know his glory. We should long for that, because when God begins to bring his move, great things are going to happen, and then fights are going to happen. Because we're going to get excited, we're going to get passionate, and we're going to win people to Christ, and they're not going to be sanctified yet. And we're going to have to know how to operate by the leading of the Holy Spirit when we feel fear gripping us. We're going to have to know how to operate and the power of the Holy Spirit when we feel like things are mundane and boring, when we feel like control is slipping out of our fingers. We need to learn how to operate in the Holy Spirit when we feel like I'm being attacked or misunderstood. We need to learn to walk in the Spirit, don't we? Because we can kill this thing if we don't learn that. So I'm challenging you, please learn to see through everybody else's eyes. Not that everybody else's eyes are right. We still need to filter things through the lens of Scripture, but learn to see through everybody else's eyes and learn to be filled with the love that God gives and the affection for others and to minister to one another. Because God has great things in store for us. And usually it's just us that mess it up. Isn't that true? We're the ones that keep, you know, God has brought glory and made this amazing thing and we keep messing it up. And I want to figure out how can I can stop doing that. How I can step out of the way and let the Holy Spirit take over instead of me taking over. Because God wants us to exist in unity and power and to thrive and to see God do great things among us. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would open our eyes to see clearly. Help us to not be overcome by our passions, by our unseen agendas, by the emotional needs that we have. Lord, we want our emotional needs to be met. We want to find healing and wholeness, but we don't want to find those things in destructive ways. So we ask that you help us to see what you see. Beyond our personal tendencies, beyond our upbringing, beyond our fears and our things that anger us, make us angry, and beyond our insecurities, help us to see things for as they really are. Purify our eyes in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask that you would circumcise our flesh, our heart, take the heart of flesh away from us and rebirth within us a new heart, a new spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.